Restoration Church. There are numerous ways for you to give electronically and online. In addition, as I mentioned before, they're offering boxes at the back of this room, and you can drop your envelopes in them as you exit after the service. But I always like to take a moment and just talk about the offering for just a second. I wanted to make you aware, if you didn't already notice, we have the new carpet and the new flooring out in the lobby, and that happened this past week. Absolutely, that is very nice. That happened this past week. What I wanted to say, you say, well, why are you talking about that during the offering? Because here's the cool thing about what's happening here at Restoration and what I'm really enjoying about being the pastor here and seeing what God is doing is that is something that we mentioned at the beginning of the year. I don't even know how many of you were there. We talked about, hey, we need new carpet in the church. We need new carpet out there. We need new carpet in here too. You can see where the lines are fraying and some things like that. This is the original carpet that was in this building when it was built a long time ago when it was Gospel Light Baptist. So this is this is the original carpet and needs to be changed. And I just said this is something that we need to do. I really didn't talk about it anymore. And over the last 4 or 5 months, enough money came in to do all of the carpet out there in the lobby without anything. There was no big pressure and, hey, we got to put new carpet in. You have to do this if you don't give, if da-da-da-da-da. And I just say that because it's so wonderful to pastor a church like that. For those of you who haven't pastored, you don't understand what that's like to just be able to say, hey, here's a need that we have, and for people to just respond. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you that gave specifically for the carpet. I want to say thank you. I appreciate it for all of you that give so that we can do all the things that we do. I want to say thank you. It's wonderful to be at a church where the people are willing to give and be part, that they're generous and that they want to help and serve others. So now that we've done that, I will mention again, in the future, as we save the money, we want to put that same carpet all the way through here. So that is a need that we have. I'm going to mention it, and we'll just see what God does. That's what we did the last time, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. So for all of you that give to the carpet, to anything that you've done, for all of you that serve, that donate your time and your energy, for those of you that, you know, that volunteer in the nursery and in youth, that help sing in the band, all the things that you do to make Restoration Church happen, I want to say thank you to you, and I appreciate your faithfulness and generosity. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would be with us. Bless both gift and giver this morning. God, we thank you for your blessings. We ask that you would continue to give us opportunities to bless others. Give us a generous spirit, a generous heart. God, be with us. Be with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What's the matter, Mama?
I'm dying, Forrest.
Come on in, sit down over here.
Why are you dying, Mama?
It's my time. It's just my time. Oh, now.
Don't you be afraid, sweetheart. Death is just a part of life. Something we're all destined to do.
I didn't know it, but I was destined to be your mama. I did the best I could.
You did good, Mom.
Well,
I happen to believe you make your own destiny. You have to do the best with what God gave you.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mama always had a way of explaining things so I could understand them.
I will miss you, Forrest.
She had got the cancer and died on a Tuesday. I bought her a new hat with little flowers on it. And that's all I had to say about that.
This morning, I want to continue the series on Thin Places. This morning, I want to talk about the thin place of purpose, or more specifically, the thin place of destiny. This morning, though, is the thin place of purpose. All of us, throughout most of our lives, ask the same question that Forrest Gump asked his mother. What's my destiny? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be about? What did God create me to do? I love his mother's response. You got to do the best you can with what God gave you. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is the thin place of purpose. So if you will, turn to Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. This is the conversion of Saul. This is the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that is Christians, so if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The thin place of purpose begins with this. And this may seem very elementary, and it is, but it is so difficult for each of us as human beings to grasp. And the first thing is this, that our purpose is unique. Our purpose is unique. I was watching with my kids more than I was watching, but I was sitting with my older boys. We watched the NBA draft on Thursday night, this past Thursday night. We watched the NBA draft. And every single player, when they were drafted, one of the commentators had a little video montage that he did where he compared them to another player that had played previously or was still playing. So when this person is drafted, okay, they remind me of this person. When that guy is drafted, he reminds me of this person that used to play. And it went on and on and on. Every single draft pick was immediately and instantly compared to someone else who was already playing. I see that all the time. How many of you here or that follow sports hear it when it says, oh, he's the next Michael Jordan. He's the next Brett Favre. He's the next Wayne Gretzky. Whatever sport it is you follow, they're always constantly, never-endingly being compared to someone else. Listen to me. Your purpose, your destiny is unique. If you live your life constantly trying to be someone else, constantly trying to compare yourself to someone else, you miss what God has called you to do entirely. Look again at verse 4. The light came. There were other people. We're going to talk about this in a minute. There are other people on this road. But a light shone from heaven, and Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, what? Saul, Saul. He calls him by name. He does not talk to the entire group. It's not a mass conversion. His purpose, his destiny is unique. Saul is called by name. He is called out. He says, Saul, Saul. Jesus himself appears and calls Saul by name because he has a unique destiny and purpose for Saul to accomplish. We are not just mindless worker bees. They just go through life. We're not just drones to do one task over and over and over again. We are called for a unique purpose, for a unique destiny, for a reason. You were created. You were made. You were given gifts. You were given talents. You were given something, someone was put in your life, you were put in someone else's life, don't try and be somebody else. You are unique. It is so difficult to grasp, though. It's easy to hear that and go, yeah. You know, that's like a self-help thing. You were created for a unique purpose and destiny. Anybody, you don't have to be a Christian to say that. We hear it all the time, but the problem is we don't really own it. We don't really claim it. There's a wonderful verse, Psalm 139. David wrote Psalm 139. You know this one. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I like the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says, thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. I like that. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. If you're so wonderfully complex, that means you can't be anybody else. But the moment that you decide, I have to be like this person, I need to do this. So many of us have gifts. So many of us have gifts, but we don't want to use the gifts that we're given. We want to do what we think we should be doing, not what God has given us to do. This is something I did not know my dad was going to be here this morning. So this is something that I had already prepared and that I was going to talk about. And then when I found out he was going to be here, I was like, oh, man. So I'm just going to say it anyway, because even though he's here. Because here's the deal. I want you to imagine, everybody in here has a dad. You may not have a good dad, you may not have a great dad, you may not no longer, you know, have your father in your life, but all of us have a dad. Now, I want you to imagine that your dad is the best at the job that he does. Now, I don't mean the best at his company. I don't mean the best in his state. I mean the best. I want you to imagine that your father is the best at what he does. So imagine he's a quarterback, and he's the best quarterback that's ever played football ever in the history of football, and it's not even close. It's not even a contest. Now, imagine that you decide to become a quarterback. That is a difficult proposition. But let me make it a little more spiritual. You know that God has called you to do this thing. It is very, 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 very intimidating for me to preach on a regular basis knowing that my dad is the best at this. I could do this for the rest of my life and never be as good as him. And he's written tons of books. And oh, by the way, he was the president of two universities. And oh, by the way, I could go on and on and on and on. But here's what I know. That's difficult, but here's what I know. God made me to be me. I cannot be the next Mark Rutland. I cannot be the next Mark Rutland. I cannot, I could not, I do not, I can't be the next Mark Rutland. All I can do is be the best Travis that I can be. That's the only thing that I can do. And this is what happens. We get in our job, we have talents, we have gifts, but we're constantly looking at the guy next to us saying, why don't I have his gifting? Why can't I do what he does? So we constantly try and force ourselves into the other person's mold instead of letting God use us with our gifts. I never want to embarrass people that are in the church, but I love this guy and I know that he doesn't mind. He tells me he doesn't want to talk about him, but I know that he doesn't mind. Joe Driggers is one of my favorite people in this church. If you don't know Joe, you need to know Joe. Joe Driggers is one of my favorite people in this church, but he always says, don't talk about me. Wait, I got to do a better impression of Joe. Pastor, don't talk about me in church. Pastor, I don't like it when you talk about me in church. That's Joe. Now listen to me. Joe can fix anything. When I say anything, I mean anything that runs on a gas-powered or diesel-powered engine, Joe can fix. And he comes up here and he just does it. He showed up here last week. He said, hey, I heard the outreach van was broken. He started it up. He told me to get in the van and just keep cranking it. And he was going to get underneath the van and start hitting things with a hammer. And that was going to make the van start. This is an honest to God story. I said, Joe, are you sure you want me to do this? He said, oh yeah, Pastor, it'll be fine. So he crawls under the van and he says, all right, now crank it. So I just crank it and I hear, and he goes, oh man, I thought that would work. Hold on. So he goes back underneath, do it again, and he hit something, and that thing started. And we drove it to his house, and he worked on it, and he fixed it, and he drove it back here over the weekend. Now imagine if Joe said, I'm not going to use those gifts. What I want to do is sing. Now, I'm pretty sure, Joe, I love you. But I'm pretty sure, you agree with me? Singing ain't your deal, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, but imagine Joe comes to Luke and says, Luke, I want to sing. He's missing what God is calling him to do. Listen to me, you have gifts and abilities and talents and a destiny and a purpose and a future, and you throw it all away if you try to be somebody else. Our purpose. What's your purpose? What's your destiny? It is unique. Just like Saul on the road to Damascus, Jesus is speaking to you. And he says your name. He calls you by name and he gives you a unique purpose to fulfill. Don't lose that by trying to be somebody else. Now, the next thing is this. Look back at Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him, that is Saul, and the men who journeyed with Saul stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now the second thing is how others, the next two things is how others see us. And this one right here is this. Our purpose may not be understood. Our purpose may not be understood. Listen to me. Nobody hears the call of God on your life clearer than you do. Nobody hears the call of God on your life clearer than you do. So you say, God has called me to do this. And everybody in your life goes, what? Listen to me. You heard God call your name on the road to Damascus, then don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. People say, well, you don't have the right education for that. You don't have the right background for that. You don't have the right experience for that. You don't have the right gifts for that. He says, Saul, Saul, I have called you. Saul, Saul, and he appears to you. Your purpose may not be understood by the greater good, by the greater population, by friends, by family, by spouses. But if you know God has called you by name and given you a destiny and a purpose, you must hold on to it. Do not let that go. Hold on to that. But here's the deal. You know it better than anybody else does. I try to be the best husband that I can be. But I'm going to be super, super honest, super candid with you today. One thing that I do not do well, unless I focus on it, is I'm not a great listener. I'm not a great listener. And so Courtney comes in, and if I'm watching TV, I have to turn the television off. Because otherwise, I'm like looking at her on the couch, and then I'm looking at the TV, and then she says something. Oh man, she gets so mad about that too. I'm not calling her out, but she gets so irritated with me. And I realize it's been like 3 minutes, and she's been talking, and I have no idea what has happened in that 3 minutes. I'm serious. I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what have we been talking about for 3 minutes? Are we going on a cruise? Are we changing the kids' school? I just realized, and so I try to remember the last thing I heard. You ever do this, husbands? You try to remember the last thing you remember her saying and say that to see if she's still on that topic. And I go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You went to Walmart today. And she's like, that was 10 minutes ago. We're not talking about Walmart anymore. And you're like, oh, sorry. So I've learned I have to turn the television off. I have to turn the television off. Listen to me. Your call to ministry, I hate to discourage you, but your call to ministry, your call to your purpose, God's call to you for your destiny is crystal clear to you. And it is nothing but white noise to everybody else. I don't want to discourage you, but that's the law of the universe. God said to Saul, Saul, Saul. Look at what Saul says. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 22 and verse 9. Acts chapter 22 and verse 9, he's now Paul. Saul became Paul, and he's giving his testimony. He's telling of his call to ministry on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 22 and verse 9. Paul, he's now Paul, he's speaking, and he says, "And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me." You understand? Your call is crystal clear. To everybody else, it is simply background noise. Don't let somebody else who didn't hear the call as clearly as you talk you out of the purpose and the destiny that God has created you for. Hold on to it. Hold on to your call. Hold on to your destiny. Hold on to your purpose. I don't care if friends and family and spouses, they say, "Well, you don't have this, you don't have that." They don't. Nobody else is going to understand your purpose as crystal clear as you will. Hold on to your purpose. Hold on to what God has told you. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." But you know what everybody else heard? Nothing. Nothing. Your purpose may not be understood by everybody else, but you have heard it. Cling to it, hold on to it, and don't let it go. Now, staying in Acts chapter 9, the final thing is this. Let's go to verse 10. We kind of just worked through this chapter, and the final thing is this. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I must show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately they fell from Saul's eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." The final thing is this. Our purpose is unique. Our purpose may not be understood. The final thing is this. Our purpose may not be obvious. Our purpose may not be obvious. I got a question for you. Who's the obvious choice in this story to take the gospel to kings and Gentiles? Ananias. Ananias is the obvious choice. He's already a Christian. He's in his house. He's praying. God appears to him. Look at it again. The Lord appears to him in a vision and says, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." Wow. We skip over that kind of stuff rather casually when we read the Bible. I want you to imagine you're in your house praying, and God Almighty, not an angel, Jesus Christ himself appears in your closet and says your name. You're praying and Jesus shows up and says, "Travis." I'm gonna be honest with you. My first words are not gonna be, "Here I am, Lord." Right? And I promise, because I know most of y'all, that's not gonna be your first words either. Jesus shows up and says, "Robert," the first word is not going to be, "Here I am, Lord. I was just sitting here praying, waiting for Jesus to show up." No, no. Imagine then who Ananias is. He is committed. He is engaged. He is obedient. He is on top of it. God shows up and says his name, and he says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me anywhere. Tell me anything. Do through me anything you want done. I'm ready to serve you." The obvious choice to take the gospel to kings and Gentiles is Ananias and not Saul. But with God, the obvious choice is not always the choice that he makes. So your purpose and your destiny may not be obvious to everybody else. What you have to do is allow God to tell you anything. Because I promise you, in Damascus, when Ananias would go to his men's Bible study every Wednesday night, I'd be sitting around praying, and then afterwards, the guys would be talking, and they'd tell Ananias, man, Ananias, you were just praying in the Spirit so good tonight, and that word you shared about Jesus was so great. God's going to do awesome, amazing stuff through you. I can't wait to see what God uses you to do, Ananias. And you know what? If you're not careful, you start believing your own press clippings. You start believing your own hype. And you think, yeah, what is God going to do through me? How is God going to use me? What's God going to do? And then you're praying one night and Jesus shows up and says, Ananias. And you say, here I am, Lord, because you know God is about to give you something great. God's about to say, Ananias, I've called you to be a missionary. I've called you to do this. I've called you to proclaim my word. I've given you that. I've done this in you. And he shows up, and because you've been listening to your own hype, you're ready to go. Because it's obvious that you're the choice. You're the most spiritual guy in Damascus. And you say, here I am, Lord. And God says, here's what I want you to do. You know that guy Saul that's capturing and torturing and killing Christians? You know that guy Saul that held the guy's coats when they stoned Stephen to death? Yeah, I know that guy. Lord, where are you going with this? Well, that guy Saul, he's here in Damascus. Yeah, I heard he was coming to Damascus to arrest people like me. God says, yeah, I know, but here's what happened. I appeared to him on the road. He's struck blind, and now he's waiting for you to come and pray for him. That's not the obvious answer you were looking for. You're the obvious choice to take the gospel to the world. But the obvious choice is not always God's choice. But if we pre-decide, if we decide ahead of time what we are going to do, then when God's purpose explodes in our face, we cannot make our brains make the switch. We have decided we're going to do this because that's obvious. That's the obvious way that God's going to use me. This is the obvious purpose and destiny my life has. And so we say, this is what I'm going to do. And then God comes from this way and says, I want you to go over here. And we literally cannot make ourselves go how God wants us to go because we've already decided the obvious thing for us to do, the obvious road, the obvious way, the obvious future, the obvious destiny, the obvious purpose is right here. And God says, my will for you is over here. And we cannot turn because we've already decided. But that's not what Ananias did. He knew that whatever God told him to do was his purpose, was his destiny. Look again, if you will, at verse 15, chapter 9. And the Lord said to him, that's Ananias, remember. The Lord says to Ananias, go, for this man, Saul, becomes Paul. For Saul, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Keep that verse up. I bet Ananias said, man, I'd like to do that. I wish I could bear your name. Wish I was a chosen vessel. I'd like to talk to kings and Gentiles and other Jewish people. You know, I'd be willing to do that, God. And then verse 16, for I must show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to let Paul do that. You know what? I'm good. I don't need to talk to kings and Gentiles. I'm good. I'm going to let him suffer many things for my name's sake. Do you understand? The obvious choice is not always God's choice. What we have to do is allow God to use us in the way that he sees fit, not in the way that we have pre-decided we must be used. When you decide ahead of time how God has to use you, you miss out on what God wants to do through you. It's not the obvious choice. God's purpose, our purpose, may not always be obvious. As far as we know, Paul went on to change the world. He wrote most of the New Testament, planted churches, went on mission trips. He served God for the rest of his life. He was also beaten and imprisoned, stoned, shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, thrown out of city after city, accused of causing riots, finally taken in chains to Rome, and beheaded in the basement of the Mamertine prison in downtown Rome. And as far as we know, Ananias probably lived to a ripe old age right there in Damascus. And the reason that both of them are a success is because they did what God called each of them to do. Not everybody is Paul. Not everybody is Paul. Not everybody is Billy Graham. Not everybody is not everybody is that. All we can do is be the best person we can be. Forrest Gump says, "What's my destiny?" She says, "What you got to do is do the best that you can with what God gave you." That is the essence of the call on all of our lives. Some of us will be Paul. Some of us will be Ananias. Some of us will be Peter. But we don't get to decide. God decides. All I want to be is the best Travis that I can possibly be. Now we're going to close as we have this entire series. I'm going to invite the musicians and the singers to return to the stage. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion. If you want to take it, the communion will be open and available. If you want to receive communion, you can do that. We're going to sing a couple of songs. As I've talked about, we want to turn the end of these services into thin plates.